It's Sunday morning, June 16th.
One of the songs that we were just listening to had a statement in it that says that we were made for so much more than to just survive. Mm-hmm. And somebody that used to go to this church years ago that I knew really well, and I didn't hear him say this, so I could be passing on something that's not true, but I was told this by several people, and he made a statement and says that he had seen it all, he had heard it all, and so what now, he was going to just sit down, sit in an easy chair, relax, and wait for the rapture. And unfortunately, we don't have a scriptural precedent for that. We have the scriptures don't tell us that. It says, "He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved."
Yes.
And I'm, approaching 83, and I feel the greatest whatever it is, to do things for God and be in God that I have ever experienced in my life.
Glory.
And I don't think, I can't get this concept in my head. Somebody just told me the other day, and they said, when we get older, whatever, we're going to get some kind of a vehicle and we're going to travel. And I said, I didn't say shame on you, but I said something close to that. And I said, I don't see that picture anywhere in the scripture. If you want to go to heaven, that's not the picture that you want to present. Because, we got Paul and we got the fellows that we see were right to the end serving God. They were gung-ho right to the end of the thing. We have a major, major dilemma today. And this has been kind of weighing on me. I've been thinking about it a lot lately. And the fact that the demons, the devil and the demons, have it made. Because it made. We were supernaturally blessed back in 1982 when God opened the door and let us see that the churches need deliverance. And how many churches do you know that practice deliverance?
Now?
Yeah. How many practice deliverance? You know, one of the reasons they don't practice deliverance? Because they're told how good they are. They're told, you go to church, you pay your tithes, you warm your pew, you be nice, just be nice. And you're doing God's will. That's what people are told. And that's fine, except it's not in here. Mm. That's not what this says. I know, somebody years ago that said, my best witness that I have is to keep my lawn mowed and keep my house looking nice and do all of these things. Mm-hmm. And so, this was quite a few years ago, but anyway. And,
yes.
And there was a lot of criticism.
It was me.
A lot of criticism towards spirit-filled Christians, mm-hmm. And they were called the sloppy agape. You remember hearing that? Because they were all witnessing and people were getting saved and all kinds of things, but they might have sloppy clothes and they might have sloppy buildings and they might have a lot of things, but God was saving people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, in the book of Mark, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and you know the rest of the story here. Well, anyway, what percentage of what we call church today practices any of that? And if they do, you know, when we, I was out in Seattle, of course, we were taught the gifts of the Spirit, and we were taught things, and not that we had everything accurate or that I was taught accurate, but we were, at least we were taught. And I come back to a Pentecostal church and discover that, I mean, we have people speak in tongues, that a handful of people out of several hundred could speak in tongues. And so now here we are, we're beginning to understand the value of tongues, which we didn't understand. And that this is a God-given gift that it'll do something that most people don't even know they need done. We don't know how to pray as we ought. That's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to pray as we should.
Mm-hmm.
So God has improvised, because of his greatness and our lack of greatness, he has improvised tongues so that we can pray to him in tongues, and he can pray to himself through us according to his will and our real needs. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to pray for what I need. What do I need? I don't know.
Right.
And so it's... So here I come back. I really am an immature being, and I'm have this thing of trying to teach a whole bunch of old timers who have been speaking in tongues for years or who received the Holy Spirit years ago the value of tongues. And you know what? That's almost a wasted endeavor. It's a wasted. I don't know that. Of course, I didn't really know what I was talking about either, so it wasn't a big help. And so that the demons are rampant in the church, and we discovered that. You know, here we are, we're a church that we're praying every night for several years, and all of a sudden, God opens the door and brings deliverance to us. And so, my mind, of course, I didn't believe that it could happen, but in my mind, after we got filled with the Holy Spirit, or after we got deliverance going on, my mind said, we are going to be a real blessing to a lot of people around us. The next thing I know, we're the ones in deliverance. God not only opened the door to deliverance, he let us know that we are the ones that needed to get rid of demons.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say that to say that up to that point, I mean, not that we've changed a lot since, but up to that point, we were the same as the rest of the church system, who also needed deliverance. So when some people had heard what was going on and so forth, I got some calls. I got a church way over by Green Bay. I was called to go over there and talk to them about deliverance. Well, anyway, it was a bigger church. I think it was a Sunday night, I'm not sure. And when we had the thing that I was to talk to about deliverance, the church was probably 400 or 500 people, but there was like 25 people. Because that's not an issue. Because there was no understanding that the thing is we're the ones that need it. And so, but a number of people got filled or got deliverance.
Lord.
You know, they were open towards it. I talked to them, we were talking about it, and between Joanne and I, we were able to pray for someone, and they got the you know, I don't know whatever happened after that. But that's not my business. God starts it, God finishes it, whatever he does. But we went to a number of different churches around, but the point I want to make is that as deliverance took place in this church, it took place in that church. And it took place in Seattle. It really broke out in Seattle, and we went to Switzerland, and what happened? Even though we couldn't understand the people, we had, remember Max Hossman? Remember him? And he could talk English good enough to really help in deliverance. And we practiced deliverance in a bomb shelter because we would have been kicked out of Switzerland because deliverance is not for today. You know what I saw? All kinds of people getting delivered. You know where they're from? The churches. What does that tell us? What we're doing is we're setting it's something that's ready to explode. And I'm thinking, you know, what's going on in the churches around us? And here we sit, just a handful of people, but we have an understanding of something that is major. The devil is having a field day. He's creating all kinds of things in people within the churches, and they're calling that, you know, they need to have a psychiatrist and they need to have this. I thought if the doctors could ever learn to surgically remove demons, we have something going on. That's a course that needs to be taught in the, you know. Are you following me? We got a demon problem that is horrible and nobody's addressing it. And my voice is, you know, might be on here and somebody might hear, but it's not. It's something that anyway. I've been thinking a lot about that lately. I take it back to when deliverance broke out and what we saw happen in this church and what I saw happen in some of these other places. And I thought, the churches are all sitting here needing deliverance and nobody is doing anything about it. It's not that it's my job to do it. I'm just saying that the problem with the churches is not more education. Let me read something. Just before what I read here about in Mark. Here's who we are. After that, I mean, this is toward the end. Mark is he just cuts everything short. But he says, after that he appeared in another form. Remember to those two that were on their way to Emmaus? As they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, the apostles and the rest of them there, neither believed they then. Did you follow me? Even the 11. So, and then the next one. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11. Jesus appeared unto the 11. As they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. This is Peter. So it's a common problem, the unbelief. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's a common problem. And so what does God want us to do? He wants us to believe him. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God. And I was just talking to Susan. Brittany went over to Shopko, and she bought like five or six of these little
Wonder Bibles
for $15 a piece. So she, you know, she gives them away, but
What happens?
She's been a mom.
There wasn't any of that.
So anyway, I'm not in any way anxious to retire until I can't move.
Mm.
And I don't think anybody else should be. Go gung-ho until you can't move.
Mm-hmm. 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 Amen. Amen. Let me just say, in connection with deliverance, we can do it. I think it's like riding a bike. I'd be totally happy to pray for someone for deliverance.
Well, here's the point. The point is God's going to open the door.
Mm-hmm.
He opened the door once, he'll open it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the door's open.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's closed.
Mm-hmm. What?
I don't think it's closed.
Yeah, right.
It requires faith and acknowledgement that we're not perfected yet.
But
you got to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
I think what's interesting about deliverance is maybe we're going to see it differently. It might not be the way that it was before.
That could be.
And I'm only saying this from working, okay? When I go into work, a lot of times I pray just for protection over the store, me, whatever. And there have been people that have come through my line and they're angry and mad and just yucky, okay? And as I talk to them, their demeanor changes to where they're almost apologizing to me for how they're acting.
Mm.
And it's not because of I'm so wonderful. It's because maybe they're hearing a love of God that they don't know that they're hearing. I'm just saying, I think we're going to see it in different ways when we're talking to people, that the expressions of how we are is going to be in a sense of deliverance for a lot of people, going, maybe I shouldn't treat people this way, or maybe I shouldn't talk that way, or maybe I, you know, the maybes might be the thing that saves a lot of people. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sort of like that song, you know.
Yeah.
Let them see.
Yeah, that's what it really struck me is like, and that song has been something for me. Let them see you in me. Don't let them see me. I'm nothing, you know. And truly and honestly, I have seen, I literally have seen people go from angry swearing to, oh, I'm sorry. And it's not me, you know, because it is what God's asking us to do, is we are to be his vessel, however it is meant to be, you know. Trust me, I'm standing on that because that's what God asked me to do. I don't know.
Lord.
It's kind of like those bracelets. But when God moved.
Yeah.
Or when Jesus.
Yeah. The bracelets. What would Jesus do? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's just nowadays, I don't know, the language people use.
Oh, I know.
The four-letter words, every other word. Why do you have to do that?
Yeah.
You try to stay away from it because it's offensive. It's crazy.
Gene and I, we have some spiritual times, some days, not every day, some days. We pray and read the Bible and so forth.
And this last week, it was my prayer that our house would be one that the Lord would find comfortable in, feel good in, wouldn't be troubled by this over here and that over there, you know, would feel good in. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, it's a little progress that needs to be made before he'd feel totally comfortable. But, that's a cycle. That's a continuing thing. The more he takes up residence, the more the residence is one that is compatible with him, and so forth. Anyway, that was the prayer, that he would find this place a comfortable, compatible, good residence for him.
That's a nice prayer.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's a nice prayer. I mean, it's sort of like someplace that he can come and know that he's going to be well. And
which is what we are supposed to be when we're
right.
Couples.
But it's like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I like that.
Let's see. Ooh, what's that over there? Yeah. Don't care for that.
Well, see, so. That is the same way. If the house is
right.
Full, then when people do come, they should. So I don't know much about your house, but...
I don't, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Revelation of repentance and combination of that with deliverance. And thinking about how many people are deceived and are kind of just walking through life, you know, we're really blessed. And then your revelation today about, you know, continuing on. You just don't stop. It's like, yeah, this is where I am, and now I'm just going to kind of wait my days. It's certainly not what God requested of us to do. You know, and so I was encouraged to hear you say that your plan is not to retire, but to keep drawing nigh to God, which is scriptural. And as Gina and Charlie were sharing, asking God to feel comfortable in their home, trying to, in a different way, draw near to God and let God draw near to them. I mean, it's what we need to have on our hearts. And it's interesting, Susan's has had some really interesting tests in these last couple of weeks. How the enemy has been really coming after her, but all of us in different ways. And it's obvious to me when I step back and just go, God is doing what he said he would do. We just have to be open to see that he's actually doing it. Because sometimes we get it in our minds as to, this is my prayer and this is how I expect the prayer to be answered. And that isn't what God's intent is. That wasn't really his plan. I mean, we've got lots of things going on around us that are we could be really thankful for. I was thinking, Charlotte, I think it was almost a week free with no prayer requests. I mean, your family, I mean, compared to what's been going on, you know, praise God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
It's been a blessing.
And Bonnie was baffling the medical profession. Here she is, bright and spunky, and, you know, God's doing things, and, you know,
Complaining about four-letter words?
there's his funk. Yeah, she's back. She's back. A couple weeks ago, four-letter words. Yeah, today? No, I don't want that.
Yeah, right.
But my point is that we sometimes miss what God is really doing in our lives because it doesn't come with the fanfare. It's kind of like how the Jews missed the Messiah.
Yep.
You know, they had this preconceived idea of how this is all going to happen. And when it didn't happen that way, they rejected it. You know, one of my prayers has been, Lord, do not let me not recognize.
Amen.
You know, when the enemy comes, let your discernment just flow freely so I can recognize that as the enemy and can rebuke it and stand against it and not let it take any place in my life, our lives, the body's life. Just that is deception, and I'm coming against it. Mm-hmm. And I believe he's bringing us to that spot. I believe that we are getting closer to what we need to know and what we need to listen to and hear and understand. But we haven't arrived. I'm not. Mm-hmm. For anybody listening, I don't think I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. But I do think that God has been blessing us, and we're getting revelation. A grain of sand at a time, but we are getting revelation. And I know in our lives, things that would have just really swamped us, not swamped us. We're actually can turn around and say, we're winning because God is drawing near to us because we continue to draw near to Him.
Amen. I really appreciated what you brought here this morning, Keith, about not being in retirement mode, you know. I appreciate that you are not in retirement mode, even though you're close to 83. And our church is not in retirement mode. I think there are plenty of churches out there that are in retirement mode.
Yeah.
In retirement mode. But I like, you know, Paul talks about pressing forward to reach the mark of the high calling. And I am so happy to be in an environment where we're pressing forward to reach the mark of the high calling. I'm so happy for that. You know, you're really affected by your environment. If I were in an environment where, you know, it's sit back and be easy, you know, whatever. Tear down your barns and build bigger barns and just take your ease and whatever. I suppose I would kind of get into that. I wouldn't be any kind of lone ranger going off and doing whatever if everybody else. I just really appreciate the environment that I'm in. I appreciate that.
And yet the problem is they wouldn't let you.
Right.
No, you're if the leadership won't move, you can't either.
Sure.
And that's one of the biggest problems we have. It's like deliverance. The Bible is full of deliverance. These signs shall follow them that believe. Where is it? And you know what? I can't change anything about it. I'm just asking the question. You know what I mean? Where is deliverance? But before deliverance started on March 15, 1982, where was I? I'm in the same spot. And so I can't do anything to change anything there. I'm presenting the problem. And I don't have a solution to it. But it's been on my mind a lot lately. And it's like I think that we're going to see some real major things. And I think deliverance is going to be a lot easier and a lot different. But at the same time, the church or the people within the churches, they don't have psychological problems. They got demon problems. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so they'll have demon problems until the rapture comes and goes and they miss it, or until the end comes and they're burning in the fires of hell. I mean, this is a. It's kind of like, you know, few there be that find it. I'd like to be somehow used to somehow talk to the few that do make it. You know what I mean? And I'd like to see you guys in the same spot. It's like God's going to do something. I have seen it happen in dreams for what a dream is worth. And I've seen dreams where people were coming, all kinds of people were coming into the church, and they were asking us questions because we had answers. And the only reason we had answers is because we had the Word of God in us. And when people have answers and don't have the Word of God in them, I don't want those answers.
Amen.
And because you guys are listening all the time, that puts you in a position for God to do that. And it's coming. At some point, people are going to be asking you stuff that you know because you've heard it. People don't know the Bible. And it says Jesus upbraided them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. You know who he's talking to? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter. You know, those are the ones he's talking to. And I'm thinking, who am I then? And I feel upbraided for hardness of heart and for unbelief. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because hearing the Bible, what it's supposed to do is build faith. Faith comes by hearing. That's from the Word of God. And you know, there's that scripture in Jude 19, 20, 21 that we've been talking about lately. building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
How many people know that? How many people even know what holy praying in the Holy Ghost means? We're just starting to understand ourselves a little.
This week I was doing it in my car. I'm a little ashamed to say that was kind of a novelty for me. So I'm driving down the road, praying in tongues, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, radio off. You have a radio on, that's a problem.
but anyway, the praying in tongues allows us to pray the way God wants us to pray.
Yes.
His way.
That's right.
And we're just starting to understand that. So we can't, I'm not trying to judge somebody that doesn't. I'm just saying that these are vital, valuable issues. The fact that the church is not suffering for because they're not doing good financially or they're poor, that's not it. You know, Jesus told the people to Laodicea, he says, you don't know that you're miserable and wretched and blind and naked. You know, and church people don't know that.
They think they can see.
Right.
Again. But, and then Jesus, what he does is he doesn't leave them there. He's not saying just depart or whatever. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold tried in the fire.
That's right.
You know, white raiment, eye salve so that you can see. And so the hour is coming. I mean, I didn't mean to sound negative or whatever I started out here, but it's been on my mind.
No,
it's been on my mind. It's like I'm thinking, you know, Charlie said it, yeah, almost 83, and then it's 84, and then it's 85, and then it's. They put making them, you know what I mean? And so what we need to do is don't quit the ministry. Don't slow down the efforts.
No, don't slow down your what is it that Paul said he had? He said he was the least of the apostles, but more something than the rest. I can't remember what the word was, but.
He had to try harder.
Huh?
Yeah, somehow he had to try harder.
Yeah, there was a word he used.
Yeah.
But he is more.
He was tested more.
Huh? He was tested more, yeah.
I don't know if that. I know that's probably not the word you're looking for.
But the last thing I do, I want to be serving the Lord with everything I got.
Amen.
And you know what? That's what I ask Him. Cause it to happen. I was just praying that this morning. I said, Lord, cause it to happen, because, you know, Peter said, Lord, everybody will forsake you, but not me.
Mm.
And he said, you're going to deny me.
Mm.
I don't want that to be me.
Right.
And God has the power to do things. And, you know, we went to something recently. I'll be too specific here, and I was looking at the ones that were there, and I thought, horrible problems, and you know what? There's not anything on this earth I can do to help except be concerned and pray for. I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. The situations are not getting better; they're getting worse each time that I come into contact with them. You know what I mean? It's worse and worse. It was so bad that I thought, oh my word.
When Courtney, he was playing a song, and it had "You Are Worthy" in it, and I just felt compelled to look up "worthy," and I really don't even know why I even want to share this. But it's, I'm going to share it, because it's in Revelations 5, 5:9, Revelations, and they all sang a new song to the Lamb. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were killed, and with your blood sacrifice you brought people for God from every tribe, language, race of people and nation. You made them to be a kingdom and to be priests for our God, and they will rule on earth. And that just kind of touched my heart, that by following, I mean, they're talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
We are following Jesus. We are to do the things that He wanted us to do. I just feel, I don't know why, I have no particular reason, just compelled to be like listening to Him, doing what He wants. He is really taking us under His wing. And the more that we follow Him, we're going to be better off. And it doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
What translation was that?
That one's what's ERV?
English Revised Version.
Okay, English Revised Version. Thank you, I was. English Revised Version.
That was good. That was really good.
And I just spoke to my heart, because, I mean, God is God. But I think I follow Jesus more, because he's leading me. I don't know if that, this doesn't make sense, and I always have a hard time with this. But if we're to do what Jesus did, we need to do all the things He did. I don't want to do what Jesus had, his sacrifice. He did it for me, and I'm so grateful. But it's such a wonderful thing that all these people can be brought into the kingdom.
From every tribe.
From every tribe. Yeah. I mean, that's just, it's kind of a warm feeling. Mm. I mean, like race, color, it doesn't, you know, there is no limitations to what, and I think sometimes people put limitations on Jesus and God, and, you know, and that's just, anyways.
I think, though, it's gotten a lot worse before it gets better, because people don't know they're not in sin or in, they're not hurt enough. But they, I mean, like, look what happened to the Holocaust and all that stuff.
Oh, I know.
America didn't wake up till the end of the war, practically. It was like, they wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And all the atrocities that could happen. And,
right.
And it's all going to end up in Jerusalem or in Israel, that little tiny country, the end of the world.
Yeah.
We're all going to be fighting each other.
Hmm.
And we're going to be all desperate.
Yeah. One of the songs that Corti plays, it's like that, "Come, now is the time
to worship."
You know, there's a line in there, "Someday every knee will bow before God. Someday every tongue confess."
Right.
But then it goes on to say, "But there is a special blessing for those who respond before that time." And it is true that it is so easy to follow a herd. Follow a herd. Just take all the steps that everyone else around you should do. Just follow the herd. And we here are not being called to follow a herd. You know, we're not following any herd. Whatever the world provides in the way of a herd is not going in any direction we want to go in. And it is good. You know, like the song said, I believe there's this, you know, God has a special blessing to be following Him, not just everybody else around us. You know, it's good, good. You know, and, you know, here in this church, look at us. You know, not much of a herd we have here. As the song says, there's a special blessing to that.
We don't have to have a herd.
No.
No?
What we do have to have is a stubborn determination individually to follow it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God wants to build in us. And we have to ask for it. Lord, build it in me. Change me so that's who I am. And the older I get, the more I want that to happen, you know?
Right on our hearts.
Huh?
Right on our hearts.
Yeah, just...
You know, it's interesting. There isn't a herd. We're not part of a herd following God, but that's exactly what it needs to be.
Yeah.
You know, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And the problem is, people aren't hearing the word of God. They're hearing the leadership of the church as
well.
You made a comment, and I want to just circle back. You have to have two things, at least. You have to have leadership that realizes or recognizes that the leader of the church is not them, but it's the word of God. And then you also have to have someone who's, once they take that step, says, "And I will follow the word of God." I mean, how many times have we come across the scripture sitting and we go, "Gee, I didn't see that. That wasn't in there. Or I didn't understand that to mean this." And it's because people don't want to. They don't want to see the truth because it's not always convenient. It requires more of you.
Mm-hmm.
To walk more in God requires more of you to be less of you and more of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you could follow that logic.
Right. Right.
Well, it takes time for God, for the Holy Spirit, to unravel the word for us. He guides us in the truth. And First Corinthians 14 is a major, 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 major chapter of the Bible. And there's a verse in there, or it says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together? What are we talking about? What is it when you come together? What are we talking about?
Coming like we are.
Church service.
It's church. Yeah. That's the only place I know of anywhere in the Bible that gives us any description of what a church is like. How is it when you come together?
It's true.
The pastor fills you with his philosophy. I've been there in church after church after church. That is not what it says. How is it when you come together? One has this, one has this, one has this, one has this. And then it gives us the picture of the prophets. And it's like, I told this to somebody, I won't mention the name, but I told it to somebody, I said, you know what the ministry of the prophet is, according to, or at least that in that phase of it, in a church service, what the ministry of the prophet is? He is to edify, exhort, and comfort. There's nothing about predicting the future.
Right.
That's his ministry. So what's developing in this church? The prophets. So that when you get done, it says, so that all may learn. Mm-hmm.
Let the others judge.
Yeah. So you're going to learn. You're going to know the Word of God, so that was the foundation of the church, comes out of God's Word through the Holy Spirit. So Jude says, and these are those who separate themselves. I thought, well, you know, the Luther Church, the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, that's not even what he's talking about. I didn't know until I saw verse 20. These are those who separate themselves, central, using their logic, having not the Holy Spirit. These are those who separate themselves from God. They're separated from God. They're separated from God. It doesn't matter who else they're separated from.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They separate from God because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And so if the Holy Spirit doesn't guide us into all truth, we're being separated from God. And the Holy Spirit can't guide us into truth if there's a mediator that stands in between, who is a self-proclaimed spiritual genius, and we listen to what he says. Been there, done that.
Mm.
Yes.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Amen.
You're not going to get the truth through a person who is convinced that he has it.
That is the truth right there.
And I have been a part of that. Mm-hmm. And one day God woke me up. It's like, get off the throne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, get off the throne.
Not your throne.
That's not the way it works. And then the 14th chapter tells us how it works. In the first verse of it, it says, how does it say, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. Especially, for you may all prophesy. It says in there in one spot. But you know what? You have to have the foundation in order to do it. You got to have the Word of God in you in order to do it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so if each one of us, each one that is taken, or is what I would say taking the office of a prophet, if each one has their own foundation and their own concepts and their own whatever else, you can't have a human or have a church.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
You'll have division.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
something we kind of talked about Tuesday that I think is fits here is as God is revealing new truths, and you were talking about deliverance earlier.
Yeah.
You know, we do not want old manna. We want new manna.
Yeah.
And we want the things that God has for us based upon where we are today, not based upon our false concepts that we had in the past.
Yes.
We want God to reveal Himself to us today with the foundation of the Word that we have. And so we look forward to new manna, not old manna. We don't want to be striving to go backwards. We want to be striving to go forward with the new revelation, the unfolding revelation. Mm-hmm. Which is why no one retires. No one retires.
No one retires.
No one.
No one retires. Doesn't matter if you're 83. No one retires.
No one retires.
Not intending to.
Chuck's going to make sure.
Make sure that no one retires.
If my hearing don't improve, I won't be able to tell it no anyway.
Just nod and say, yep, I agree.
Well, I can hear enough. The other night, was it Sunday night that Chuck spoke up?
I think so.
Yes, it was.
And anyway, and it was good. You know, it wasn't very long, but it was good. And I think it was the first time we ever heard him do that. But anyway, see, the thing is, Chuck hears the scriptures all the time.
All the time. Then on the time. He
gets
it all the time.
And we're talking about it. I said, you know what? The Word of God, Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And His spirit is taking it in.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so,
yeah,
the trumpet sounds.
What wants to judge how the Spirit is working in Chuck or anyone else?
But I'm afraid that some that have heard it all and or seen it all and whatever else may be sitting there and watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh Lord, save us from that.
Save us from that.
That's a good way to put it. Save us from that.
We want to be called.
Yeah, I don't. When I'm talking about the Church of Daily Deliverance, I don't have an answer. I'm just presenting a problem that I have been seeing. And it's like, you ready for deliverance, Charlie? You said you may be called to go into the middle of a Catholic church someplace. And you may, well, of course, the Catholic Church is pretty good on deliverance. At least in New England, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yeah,
they'll wave around some perfume things, but
I didn't mean they're good at it.
No. They get it, though.
They believe it. Yeah.
They believe it.
It's not, the concept is not as foreign to them as it is to other churches.
Right.
They've got a little bit of revelation there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Mm. I still think deliverance is going to be different.
Yes.
We had what some people in the community chapels called the Chippewa Falls deliverance.
Not deliverance like.
And of course, what happened is, it turned into an intellectual deliverance. And what it did, it made a lot of demons laugh. And because you know, it's like it was mind over demons. And what's that young guy that was put over deliverance out there?
You were from here. You remember him? Real tall, skinny guy. But anyway, he was a real intelligent, and you know, real intellect. But anyway, he was an intellectual thing, and you reason with him. Don Brandt used to say that, you don't have to be spending hours casting out devils, Jesus said. But you know what? There's a lack of scripture involved in that too.
Amen.
Because it says that the Spirit came out that same hour. You know, and the disciples tried to cast some spirits out, and Jesus said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting.
Right.
And so we got some things that we need to know.
Which you only know unless you have a fullness of God dwelling within you.
Yeah.
Kind of like, more intense power there of the Holy Spirit.
I believe the scriptural precedent, whatever, or pattern set by the Bible is like a wrestling match. And boy, it was like a wrestling match.
Well,
a struggle.
In the spirit.
In the spirit, yeah.
And then, well, it was a little physical.
Yeah.
Some of the concepts, some of the things that we got a hold of, were like from Wynne Worley.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Don Basham, some of the people that had been in this that's what they did. It was a wrestling match. And you know what else? People enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's like it became something that people would come to see. We have people come to see deliverance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A little spectator sport.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think when Jesus was casting out devils, I don't think it was a spectator sport.
No.
And of course, I'd say he's a little different than us, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
And when he can, I'm teasing, but when he cast out spirits, they came out. When he cast them out, they say, Jesus, when you want to call you, you know. But who are you?
Right. Yeah.
Which says a lot.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, none of us were beat up, you know, on but that kind of spirit that beat the sons of Sheba up. So there were seven of them. One demon beat the tar on
him. Mm-hmm. Right.
Does that give us any idea of their strength?
Right.
I think we should remember what Susan said, though, about it being different. The upcoming ministry. Yeah, sure. It could be. That's right. It could be a different thing than what we're used to.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. You know, and what we've got to do is gear ourselves to whatever God does.
That's right.
Does it.
I would go maybe just a touch further. I almost think it would have to be different. Given where the change in our understanding versus what we had then versus what we have now. But it just...
Do a little more like what Seattle did.
Huh? A little bit, get that brain in
there. I didn't. That was so unfair, Cookie. That was unfair.
Actually, scripturally, I was thinking of the time when they came to get Jesus, when he was betrayed, and he just said his name.
And they all fell down. Right.
There's the power of mentioning his name at the time he was being betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
Knocked him all over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going.
Certainly saying kind of Jesus in truth is a different thing than coming up with some imagination Jesus. It's happening.
I don't know.
Oh, I think you're right.
I'm just saying.
No, that's good.
I think to where I'm at, I'm fairly confident it will be different. Only because everything else has been different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I just felt it in my spirit that it's just going to be different. I can't tell you what it was. I can't tell you anything. It was just like, it's going to be different.
Yeah. Well, and at that, you know, the occasion there in, when they all fell back, I think maybe it does shed some light on what we could expect. You know? And I believe, you know, if we know Jesus in a manner that is a lot closer to the truth than what we had before, what others have, there will be a kind of power in that name that was never available before.
Amen. There will be a difference in his power.
In spirit and in truth. There's power in spirit and in truth.
And there's also, you know, it says in Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God is quick. You know, if the word is in us,
right,
it's going to have a quickening effect. You know, it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, as the word comes in us, and it's getting in us, it's coming in us. You know, and the Spirit is giving us revelation and understanding of what we're hearing. See, I mean, if the apostles had that kind of a problem,
yeah, right.
What about us?
Yeah.
And so it's going to build in us. It is building in us. It's building in me. I can feel it building in me. It's building in Chuck.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Amen.
And you know what? He hears everything that people are saying, and it's in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
And
let me share a little bit. I don't know the extent to which it has a bearing on what we're all about, but I was sent an article by my sister who said that our heart has a lot of brain cell type nerve cells in it, so we think a lot with our heart, in some kind of sense. There was someone who had a heart transplant who didn't used to like Kentucky Fried Chicken. The person for whom they received the heart transplant really liked Kentucky Fried Chicken. They went through this heart transplant with a craving for Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, maybe Chuck took a hard hit to the head, but I don't know that he took a hard hit to the heart.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Heart.
You know, and so you know things there.
Good.
That, yeah.
You know, that's why people say, in my heart, I just feel it. It wasn't.
Yeah.
We weren't. No. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't think of, you think of the heart being like the soul or something else.
Right.
But, yeah, I'd never thought of it. I'd never heard that before.
Yeah. Interesting. But,
you know,
yeah.
God made us.
God made us. All of us.
Like, all of us connected and whatever.
So maybe we don't, maybe our heart doesn't do a lot of word processing or creating words, account for the language of what comes out of our mouth. But there's some thinking going on there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what exactly that means, but anyway, throw it out there for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Is that enough? Is that enough for one Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Love you all.
Yep.
Love you too.